those promises to us, so that when two or more gathered in your name, you were there. So we lay those requests before you today, and that we trust you, Father. And we just ask you grace and blessing upon the church as we gather for worship today. And let this be a great day for you. And we trust you in all things. In Jesus' name.
I was thinking R-O-W-S. Rose. I was thinking, Rose, you're, oh, you were thinking, well, yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're in Luke chapter 13, and I always love this passage because it just sort of speaks to so many issues that we try to deal with, and we come up with ways of dealing with them that aren't bad, they're just maybe not quite accurate, you know? So it says, at that time, some people came and reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And he responded to them, "Do you think these Galileans were more sinful than all the Galileans because they suffered these things? No. I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as well. Or those 18 at the Tower of Siloam, in Siloam fell on and killed. Do you think they were more sinful than all the people who live in Jerusalem? No. I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as well." And he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. He told the vineyard worker, "Listen, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I waste the soil?" But he replied, "Sir, leave it this year also, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. Perhaps it will bear fruit next year. If not, you can cut it down." Okay. 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 That's, you know, I love this passage because you come across these passages, things that Jesus says, and how he connects these things. And you're just going, what? You know, you sort of get the first part, but you don't get the second part. And he says things, and I think a lot of times the reason we don't get it is because we don't think Jesus is really going to talk about those things, certain things. Or he's not going to talk about them in the way that we want to talk about them, in the way we interpret them. You know, we all want to hear what we want to hear. We all have things that happen to us, and we make assumptions about what is behind this, the why behind it, you know. And we will ask those questions, you know, why is God doing this to me? Or why did this happen to me? And we will come up with all kinds of explanations for that, you know. Because we all want to hear what we want to hear. Someone once said that a Popa Committee has been defined as a group of people in search of a man who will be totally fearless and uncompromising as he tells us exactly what we want to hear. You know, and Jesus is going to share some things here that honestly don't sit well with us. And don't sit well with how we interpret life. But he's not here to make things sit well with us. You know? They come, and Pilate, there was constant rebellion in Israel and against the Romans. And while we don't have a lot of information about specific times, sometimes people would come into the temple and they would be offended by something a Roman soldier had done, and they would cause a riot, and the Romans would step in with just lethal force. And evidently, some Galileans had come in from the out country, from Galilee, to offer their sacrifices in the temple, had a run-in with the soldiers, the Romans, and the Romans had killed them when they brought their sacrifices in. You know, and the Jewish reaction, the typical Hebrew reaction of the time, goes all the way back to Job. What did you do? Okay. What did you do to deserve this? That's one of our natural default positions. Something bad happens to us. Something bad happens to our kids. Our kids make stupid decisions. And one of our default recourses is, what did I do? What did I do wrong? You know? And Jesus is going to deal with that a little bit. You know? Because that was the question. Jesus heard about this, and everybody around him is thinking, man, what did they do to deserve that? You know, and either they go to that point. He even illustrates it with something a little more innocuous, because they would do the same thing in that. He says, y'all remember about hearing about the Tyre and Siloam that fell and killed 18 people. And everybody was thinking, oh, man, what did they do that God, you know, did that to them? Did they deserve that? You know, what did they do? You know, as if they were more guilty and more sinful than anybody else because that happened. And there are other places in John 9. It says he went along and saw a man blind from birth. His disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his mom and dad, that he was born blind from birth? Because everything that bad happened to them, they would blame on sin. They would wonder who did wrong. What, you know, they're just getting what they deserve. There's this natural balance. What goes around comes around. You're going to get what you deserve. And we all sort of have that, because every once in a while something bad happens and we go right to, oh man, what did I do wrong that this happened? Okay. I don't know that Jesus was ever totally successful in trying to eradicate that blasphemy from the church. Let me say that again. I don't think Jesus was ever totally successful in eradicating that blasphemy from the church and from his disciples. God does not work that way with his people. Ever. If you're forgiven in Christ, you are forgiven in Christ. So he's not looking to drop the piano on your head every time you screw up. Okay? Neither in your actions or anybody in your family's actions. And so he has a hard time, you know, and Jesus is just saying, no. You know, now Jesus does not deny. In fact, he, you know, will say, you need to repent, and you need to repent. You need to deal with yourself, yeah. But he says, they weren't more sinful than anybody else, but we're all going to perish. We all need to repent, because we're all going to perish. We're all going to, we all need to face the Lord. There is an idea that Jesus is saying here is we all need to deal with our sin. And in Christ, after this, after his death, burial, and resurrection, we have dealt with our sin in Christ. It is forgiven. So he's not looking around there pushing the balance sheet button so that you screw up, you get punished, you screw up, you get punished, you screw up, you get punished. Doesn't work that way. But we think it does. And we make that application in all kinds of ways. Okay? Now, I have said the words myself a number of times. I have heard almost every one of us say these words. Well, this is where it is. This must be what God wants. Wrong answer. Okay? God is involved in our lives in a very intimate way. And he will respond to our faith in prayer according to the words that he has said in Scripture. all of that on the given, that we are in a lost, sinful, broken, flawed world where evil not only exists, evil runs rampant. In fact, the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. That God is at work in this world, not in the circumstances, not particularly in the cause effect of the situation, but in his people as they respond to it. That is an important distinction. Okay. Now, I will grant there are whole theologies that don't get this right. Everything is God. Everything is God. This happens, this must be God. No, God's going to work in that situation. Romans 8, God can cause good to come from any situation when we trust him, but he's not the cause factor. And that's sort of the, you know, that's sort of the false theology of it. That somehow God is the cause factor. If this is what happened, this must be what God's will is. No, what God's will is how you respond to the evil. How you respond to the things that happened that are evil, that happen as a result of evil people, that happen as a result of all of that. Because we look at other things. We don't see it, you know, as he sees it. You know, basically what Jesus was saying, you know, what Jesus said was, you know, the Galileans went in to offer their sacrifices. They ran into these Roman soldiers, have a run when they were killed. God didn't do that. God wasn't punishing them. The Romans may have been punishing them, but they weren't. The people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them died because they were standing under the tower when it fell on them. The family gets taken out by a drunk driver. That is not God, ever. And you can tell I have a real strong emotional reaction to, oh man, what is God doing in this situation? Well, God may be working in the lives of Christians as they respond to the situation, but to lay that situation on God? No. There is evil in the world. I was reading this thing, listening to this guy talk, I'm not going to open a political can of worms, but I just want, you know, I just made me think of this when I was listening to it the other day. Guy is an ex-Marine who's working as a contractor in Iraq. All this hubbub about travel bans from Iraq. And he's got, in the compound where he lives, got some Iraqi citizens that he works with every day, and he asked them about it, and they're ranting and raving and just like the, you know, snowflakes here. And he says, let me ask you a question. He said, if today, this afternoon, I go out of the compound as an American into the village, what would happen? And he said, well, you would probably be captured and you'd be tortured and probably beheaded, and it would be on video, and so we could show it. He says, who would do that? It's the people in the village. Are they ISIS? No. Are they Al-Qaeda? No. Who are they? They're just the populace. So I go out in the village, that's what's going to... So you're telling me if I just walk out in the village to go shopping, the people, just the people, will capture me, torture me, and behead me? Yes. So if that's my reaction... That's what happens to me if I go out into your village because I'm American. Why should you be welcome in my country? Different perspective. No, that's all I'm saying, different perspective. We need a different perspective on what happens in the world, that there is evil in the world, and God's not doing that evil. There are evil people in the world. God's not doing that evil. There are accidents that happen that are simply accidents. Sometimes the tower gets weak and falls. Sometimes the tire hits the nail and has a blowout. Sometimes those things happen that there's a weather systems, and the weather systems come through, and the tornadoes and the earthquakes and the hurricanes and all of those things and the floods, they happen. That's not because God decided, oh, I'm going to take that village out today, and hits the button.
It does not work that way. It does not work that way on a worldwide scale, and it does not work that way on the individual scale. Now, when those things happen to us, we are to respond in faith. We are to, you know, Jesus talks about repentance here. We're to make sure we're right with God, and we're to respond in faith, and respond in faith, like Romans 8:28. God can cause all things to work together for the good. God can work in anything that happens. He can work in any of the things that happen in this world to his believers and cause them to work for good if they are faithful and true to him, who are called and love him and are called according to his purpose. God can work good in any of those things. That's the question we should be asking. See? It's amazing that even believers who say they don't believe in God will lay every single thing that happens at God's feet. Okay? And that's bad theology. It's just wrong. Does God want to work with us in everything that happens? Yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He wants to bring about healing. He wants to bring about restoration. He wants us to have a strong witness in the midst of the darkness. This is a dark place, and God's light shines through his people, and we're to be the city set on the hill. We're to be the light set out where everybody can see it, and you need light in darkness, and this world is lost in sin. It is broken, and it is hell-bound and full of evil, and we as believers are the light. And we need to see that. And when dark, bad things happen, yeah, you know, people are watching us to see if we're going to shine the light. And when people, and, you know, but what happens is there's no light when bad things happen, and the Christian goes, oh, God, why is God doing this to me? God isn't doing it to you. Now, he may be waiting to see how you respond. If you have determined, I'm going to talk about this in church, so I don't want to go too far in it, but God may be watching to see how you respond to this, because there's evil in the world, you know. Where does God's will, where does God's action, where does God's causality step into place? See? And God does have a cause and effect. Yes, he does. Most of that is balanced in the cross. Okay? And if we take God's causality to every little stinking thing that happens in this world, then he's the fault of every birth defect. He's the fault of everything that ever happens is bad, and he's not. That is a result of evil. That is a result of evil. His causality effect is in the response of his people, in how they respond. When they choose to follow him, they're going to be in a lost world. How are you going to choose to follow him in a lost world where bad things happen? Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen because we're in a lost world. You know, and we need to get rid of the thought process that God had something bad happen to me because you screwed up. You know, and we do that. That's the default setting. You know how that is? That's the default setting, you know. Yeah, there's, yeah, yeah. If there are natural consequences, you know, there are natural consequences. You know, God, you can go. I mean, how many of the Manson family have become Christians? Many of them. And as Christians, they accept the fact that they have consequences to their actions. And while God may have forgiven them, that doesn't change the fact that there are consequences to your actions that's going to happen in the world. Okay? Yeah, you know. know,
there is genetics, and I mean, we have an effect. We have an effect on this. Others have an effect on this. There are things we have no control over that have an effect on this. God is looking for how we respond. Are we being faithful servants with what He's given us? And are we being faithful when even bad things happen? Are we being faithful when good things happen? Which is a whole other question. And these passages raise those issues. And nobody wants to pay attention to them. You know, we all, you know, yeah. That it's not a bad analogy, because what God allows us to do is God's in a fluid relationship with us. And see, I think what the mistake we make is to take God's will and His dealing with us and make it ironclad and absolute. And it isn't. He's going to respond to us. He has. If we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we're in a living relationship with Him, we have forgiveness and grace, and He wants to shine that through us. You know, but if people turn away from Him, you know, if you look at the history of Israel, all the way from when they left Egypt, all the way through till the kingdoms were destroyed, He wants them to be His people. He wants them to love them, and He rescues them, and they come back and they worship and they're thankful, and then a generation later they're beginning to turn away, and two generations later they're worshiping the false gods, and He begins to do things to get their attention, and they won't, and he's going to operate according to covenant. The key is God operates and only operates according to covenant. The Old Testament covenant was with one group of people. If you were not Jewish, it never applied to you. You were just one of the lost Gentiles. Now, in Jesus, the new covenant applies to everyone in the world, and they have the chance of accepting Jesus or not accepting Jesus. And we have a new covenant in His blood that makes us all family. Just, you know, I just read Revelation again at the end of the month, you know, and it's like, Revelation is like, you know. But the one thing that comes out of Revelation is this mass of people who have robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb keep showing up. Okay, God operates according to covenant. He only operates according to the covenant. And the only covenant He operates with now is the new covenant in Jesus. That is the covenant of the heart. See? And so we have to be sure. That's why He says, even in here, you know, do you think they were bad? No, they weren't bad, but you need to repent. You need to have your heart right with it. His point is your heart needs to be right with God, and God's going to work in you, and He's going to, well, you know, and that's the idea. We keep going back to the default setting. You know? Because we pray for something and it doesn't happen, and we think, oh, you know, or something bad happens to us, and we think, oh, man, what did I do? What did I do to deserve this? We take responsibility for things that aren't our responsibility because we think we screwed up. God does not work that way. If we sin, there may be repercussions for that sin. There's a natural thing that takes place in this world, and there are laws, and if you break the laws, you cannot break the law of gravity. It will break you, you know. You know, you jump off the cliff and the parachute doesn't open. That ain't God's fault. Okay? You see what I mean? And so getting this right is a game changer. You know? Because God wants to work through His people to shine His light of grace and work in their hearts. That's His covenant. You know? And does He have control over the world? He's taking the world to a place where Jesus comes back. But He doesn't have to take it there. It is lost, and it is going to get worse, and it's going there.
And the only thing that changes this world is more people being believers. That is why Jesus comes back when everybody that's going to be a believer becomes one. And when no one else is going to choose to believe in Jesus, Jesus is going to come back for his church. And the only thing that will change the world for any length of time is more believers. You know, because that's who God works through. Think about it. Okay? And I realize that's an odd theological perspective that even popular theology doesn't particularly agree with. But it just happens to be what they said. Okay? Our role isn't to follow theology. Our role is to follow God and the Scripture. So think that out. Father God, thank you for being with us this morning. And even these hard things that Jesus talks about, that they're, you know, we've been so convinced by the world and by the enemy and even by false teaching in the church that we go to these default settings, and you understand that and you forgive that, you know, you get that. Help us to be determined to be yours no matter what, and to have our hearts right with you, to be living in that forgiveness of Christ, so that we know, Lord, that you're working through us not to cause the bad things, and you're not causing the bad things to happen. You're just working through us, no matter what happens, good or bad, to shine the light of Christ. That's where you want us. That's where you want us. We're living in a lost world with a lot of evil in it, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse until Jesus comes back. Help us to understand that, and that evil does not fall at your feet. We can understand that, Father. We've taken a big step. Bless us to that, we pray in Jesus' name.